Welcome to the Click Podcast. I'm Danny Watson, a mindset and manifestation expert and founder of The Click, a company that helps women overcome their fears and limiting beliefs to create a life and business that they love. Within this podcast, I will help you get clear on what you want, identify the blocks that are holding you back, transform your mindset and raise your vibration so that you can co-create magic with the universe. If you are looking to design a life that truly sets your soul on fire and manifest more success and abundance, then you are in the right place. Hello, ladies, and welcome to a brand new episode. So, moving forwards, I normally release these podcast episodes on a Monday, but moving forwards, we're actually going to be releasing them on a Tuesday. And the only real reason was because my husband, who listens to a lot of podcasts, admittedly, most of his podcasts that he listens to are comedy podcasts, but he mentioned that all of the podcasts he listens to seem to be released on a Tuesday. We're like, why is that? So we guessed there must be some reason. So we thought we're going to give this a go with this podcast. And so yeah, moving forwards, the podcast will now be released on a Tuesday, but let's stop with all of this boring introduction and let's get started with this episode, because I'm actually going to be sharing something that forms a part of my feminine leadership coaching workshop. So if you've not yet signed up for that, you can actually do so by going to she-leads.co/workshop. I'll leave that link as well in the show notes. You can register for the workshop there. It's currently free to access. But anyway, one of the topics within that workshop is around money. Now, obviously, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you will know that I love helping women step into their financial power. And I love the changes that I've been able to make in terms of my own finances and building a business, which not only I love running, but has also really supported me financially as well. Now, sometimes I feel like perhaps I don't talk about money enough. And I think the reason for that, because I often get asked a lot of the time for requests on money mindset subjects, creating wealth. And honestly, I love talking about these conversations. But for me, it's really all about redefining the way in which we create money that's important. And I think the money is often a byproduct of what the other work is that we're doing below the surface. So for me, the making money has been a byproduct of the deeper healing, the strengthening of my self-worth, the learning to really love myself unconditionally, the detachment from my worth and my productivity levels. These have been the big things for me that have ultimately helped me generate more money in my life. As part of the work that I do within the feminine leadership space, I've worked with a lot of women who, when we started working together financially, they were already in a very great place. So they're perhaps six-figure earners within their careers, they're six or maybe even seven-figure earners within their business. So financially, you know, they are secure, yet they're still unfulfilled. They're still not happy. They're still basing their whole worthiness on how much they do. And so often they find themselves operating from this place of stress, panic, burnout. So whilst making money is a wonderful thing, it's for me really about redefining the way in which we make our money and the energy in which we show up for our work and our lives, and really allowing money to come into our lives with more ease and more joy and more fulfillment, rather than it feeling like this thing that we need to always push for or chase for. You know, it's getting into that attraction mode rather than this sort of hustle mentality where making money always has to feel like hard work. Now, again, helping women to make money and create incredible amounts of wealth within their life is something that I am super passionate about. And it really does feature heavily in the work that I do. But again, I try not to lead with this too much. And I really made a conscious effort that this isn't the reason why I want people to invest in me. Yes, I know that when my clients join my programs, that they are looking to kind of really significantly up-level their finances and their impact and their success as a business owner or as a career woman, but I don't want that to be the only thing that I'm known for, because again, it's about redefining wealth. But the other big thing for me was this realization that if the only thing that I'm ever talking about is the external success, wealth being one of those things, it almost feels like I am, my whole validation is being based on something that's external to me. And I know that my worthiness is derived from within. So for me, it's really important to focus on the inner work more so than the external recognition, the money, or, you know, recently I was featured in Forbes, for example, which was an amazing thing. And I love celebrating those things. But I always come bring it back to, well, who am I if I'm stripped back of all of those things? You know, because the money could disappear tomorrow, the success could disappear tomorrow. Let's hope that they don't. But if they did, would you still feel worthy? Would you still feel worthy of praise, of love, of acceptance, of validation? Or are you constantly looking for those external things to validate you? The danger when we're constantly looking for those external benchmarks to feel successful or to feel, you know, that we've made it. So for example, hitting a certain income milestone, it can feel really, really good when you get there, but that feeling is very, very short-lived. And so this is something that I've recognized on my journey where I have seen huge amounts of financial success, but yet still felt empty. You know, that momentary excitement was quickly replaced with a feeling of emptiness when I realized that actually these things are only going to make me happy for a short while. And what's really going to bring long-term sustainable joy and fulfillment is the inner work that I do, my own innate sense of worth. And so this is why I don't want to make the external achievements such as the money that you have in the bank and celebrating those big income milestones. I don't want to be the thing that I feel like I'm leading with all the time, because I know that for my clients that I want to call in, yes, that making money is important, but it's more about, again, redefining how they make that money and making sure that their biggest priority is their own innate sense of worth. So not feeling like they need to have made 10 million a year to feel worthy and deserving of that success, of that recognition. So yeah, I hope that sort of makes sense, but I wanted to just kind of lead with that because I do get asked a lot about, can you do more subjects on money and can you share more about the finances? And I feel like for me, I already share quite a lot about that. You know, I've built multiple 7 and now 8-figure businesses. And I've been able to do this by working in a way that's really fulfilling and at a pace that really works for me. And you know, without feeling that need to kind of constantly put pressure on myself to do more, to be more. And that's kind of really what I want my message to be about. So yeah, I hope that makes sense. But for this episode though, I do want to talk about money because it's something that I have gone into within the She Leads workshop. And I wanted to share it on here as well, because for me, these are things that have really kind of helped when it comes to me surpassing my income plateaus. So maybe you've experienced this, maybe you're in a bit of an income plateau at the moment where it feels like you've been able to get to a certain stage within your business financially, but it's breaking through to that next level. It kind of feels like you're a bit stuck. And so I use the phrase of every new level presents a new devil. So it's essentially the idea that whenever we try to up-level anything in our lives, we're normally met with a whole new set of blocks that we need to kind of break through. So these blocks often show up as patterns of self-sabotage where we do things that kind of hold us back from getting to that next level because subconsciously there may be something that we're afraid of, we're perhaps worried about what getting to that next level might mean. So I wanted to share in this episode some of the blocks that I've experienced, because I'm not sure whether I've ever shared about these blocks at all before. I've talked about money blocks on the podcast, but these are some patterns that I recognized more so when I was kind of really taking sort of the exponential leaps within my finances. So I'm talking from, you know, going from 6-figure months to 7-figure months and kind of what that required of me internally. And something, and I think this is, if I'm being completely honest, I feel like it's still a block that I'm working through. I've done a lot of work on it, but I still feel like it shows up for me. It's that one of those pesky little blocks that you do a lot of work around, but I don't know, it just kind of keeps resurfacing itself. And so for me, this block is my insistence, or my actual passion, should I say, on solving problems. So I'd love to know as well if anybody resonates with this, because I realized that a lot of my resistance to getting to that next level, a lot of the reason why I was self-sabotaging from getting to that next level financially, was because I was hooked on this idea that things needed to be hard work. Now, I'd done a lot of work around my belief that making money has to be hard, it has to involve a struggle. And so I found that getting to, you know, a certain income milestone was actually relatively easy. Six figures, for example, I found that I could get there, and I was able to rewrite the narrative of this needs to be hard work, this needs to take a long time. I was able to get to that six-figure point in a very short space of time. However, it was then kind of up-leveling to that next level that I found that, okay, well, this now I'm reverting back to these patterns of struggle and making things more difficult than what they need to be. And I needed to kind of revisit this. And what I discovered was that I was addicted to solving problems. I love being the person that tries to fix things and make things right. So when things go wrong, I love to be the one, and I get joy from this. I, you know, feel a sense of achievement from this. If I'm the one that comes in and is able to fix things. Now, of course, when you are the fixer, people praise you for that. So it's that kind of that validation and that acceptance, it's kind of being reinforced when you're praised by other people. But what I realized was, when I dug a little bit deeper into this, I realized a lot of this was derived from my childhood, which a lot of our blocks are, where I was very much brought up in a family of tough love. So we were very much taught to kind of get on with things. You know, we kind of were taught to be very self-reliant and resilient. And I was often praised for how independent I was, for how self-reliant I was. So, you know, look, you know, she's just getting on with it. She just does it by herself. She doesn't need any help with this. And often when there was a challenge or a problem that I was presented with, I was kind of allowed to just figure that out for myself. Like, I didn't have somebody trying to do things for me, you know. And I'm talking about even just small problems, like things like, it's not really a problem, but just something that you need to do and get on with, is, you know, doing chores in the house or doing my own laundry. Or, you know, I was just kind of left to sort of figure that out and get on with things and kind of solve those problems for myself. I was given a lot of leeway to solve problems. And I love that, because I feel like it's really shaped me into who I am today, in that I am very good at, when I'm presented with challenges, I like to kind of problem solve challenges and come up with solutions. And I feel like, as a business owner, that served me very, very well. But being in that mentality has meant that I've often created far more work for myself. Because if we are getting some sort of positive benefit from having problems in our life, because this positive benefit is, you know, we're good at solving problems, we get praise when we're solving a problem, you know, we're good at figuring things out. When we have some sort of positive benefit from a problem, our subconscious mind is going to want to find more problems to solve to get more of that benefit. So if we're constantly looking for problems, we're constantly going to find problems. And so I recognized this pattern start to show up when it was specifically around going from that 6 to 7 figure month transition. So that's a pretty big leap. So that wasn't an overnight thing. And so during that time, you know, I had a business at 6 figures and it was running very, very smoothly. And, you know, I'd got to this place in my business where it kind of felt fun. It felt easy. It was traveling a lot and doing all of these things. And all of a sudden, I realized I was making things a lot harder than what they needed to be. So one of the things that I was doing was that I was micromanaging my team. So rather than just handing things over to my team, I was doing a lot of the things within my business that I didn't necessarily need to be doing. So taking on a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, which I didn't need to be doing. But again, I was addicted to solving problems and I liked figuring things out. So a really good example of this was when we were doing a launch of a new program. And everything was running smoothly. I'd had my team to kind of support me in all of these different areas, like building out the funnel and all of the tech side of things. And, you know, the sales girls were going to do all the sales calls and everything was kind of lined up wonderfully. And then it was almost like my subconscious mind needed to fix something. It kind of needed that hit of dopamine of saying, yes, okay, you can be rewarded now because you fixed a major problem. And so I started to look for problems and I started to see things that were wrong with, let's say, the sales page. I was like, maybe this could be changed or maybe this could be better. And so what I did, again, in this insistent need to fix things, I started messing with things behind the scenes and my whole website crashed. It was literally like just about as we were in full on launch mode. And I don't know what I did, but something went wrong. And I was frantically on the phone to my web hosting company, trying to figure out like why it was redirecting people to like an error page and what had happened. And nobody could seem to give me an answer. And the result was when the cart was supposed to open and people were supposed to join my program and pay, the sales page wasn't working. So what was anticipated to be this really exciting launch ended up becoming a bit of a flop. And I therefore blocked myself financially. So on, you know, a surface level, it was like, okay, well, I was supposed to make X amount of money. This was what we were predicted and forecasted to make. And it ended up being a lot less. So this was for me a huge money block. And this was very much tied in with this insistent need to fix things. I couldn't just allow things to be smooth and easy. I had to be the problem solver. So again, this was partially connected with this belief of things need to be hard work. But actually, I knew things could be easy by this stage. My kind of real block here was that I needed to feel like I was doing something and fixing things and solving problems to kind of feel like that, yes, I am worthy of this. Look how much I've kind of helped this process because I fixed all of these problems along the way. Now, what's interesting, I think that especially in the coaching space, I feel like a lot of women are drawn to coaching because by nature, they love helping people solve problems. They love being that problem solver and they get some sort of validation from that. So maybe you've recognized that within yourself. I hear from a lot of women who are about to embark on their coaching journey and they say, look, I've really been drawn to this industry because I love helping people. And they have that kind of fixer mentality where they like to fix things. And this can be a wonderful thing, but it can be a double-edged sword because equally, again, if we are constantly looking for problems to fix, that energy that we're putting out there of problems, I need to find problems, is going to bring more problems into our life. So for me, this was a really, really big realization and something that I kind of really needed to revisit where I need to think, well, if I don't want to be deriving my worthiness from solving problems or finding joy in fixing things, how can I channel this need to fix things into something else and find other problems to solve in a different area, unrelated to my business, unrelated to my finances? Or how can I start to, again, redefine my worthiness so it's not based upon the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm fixing all the time? I'm recognizing that my worthiness is innate. Now, the other major block that I've come up against going, you know, from that, in that period of exponential growth within my finances was this fear around my ability to be consistent and to be able to actually maintain what I have been able to create. So if you've ever heard of the phrase before, the higher the climb, the bigger the fall. It was almost like I was really scared of taking things to that whole new level because it felt like a lot of pressure to be able to get there, but to also maintain it. And when I kind of dug into this a little bit as well, partly it was tied in with a worry or a limiting belief that I have about myself that I cannot be consistent with things. And since becoming a business owner, admittedly, I've really rewrote this narrative because as a business owner, there's been times where, of course, I've not been consistent with things. You know, for example, showing up on social media. For me, that's not necessarily the thing that I'm the most consistent with in the world. I don't need to be, fortunately. Like I have systems and processes in place where my business can really run without me. You know, I could perhaps never post on my social media page again and my business wouldn't struggle as a result. So fortunately for me, that doesn't seem to matter too much. But I think I came into the entrepreneurship space where previously it felt like I'd never been consistent with things. So a good example of this is kind of starting my career and then just giving it up. And again, that kind of left me with this belief of I can't stick with things. And I'd done other things, you know, through my life, through my 20s, where I'd started things and kind of never really pursued them. I'd gone through my 20s, often coming to the idea of entrepreneurship and having all of these ideas of different businesses I could start, and nothing ever really played out. I never really got further than the idea stage until I got to coaching. That was kind of when I really made things stick and I was consistent and I pursued things. But because of these experiences previously, I had this idea in my head that I'm just not a consistent person. I'd seen it as well within things like my eating habits, where I would be really good at like starting these new habits and being healthy, and then it wouldn't last for very long. Or I'd start, you know, doing yoga every day, and, you know, I'd start with all of this enthusiasm, but soon enough I would have given up again. And, you know, I had all of these like online health membership platforms that I was, you know, Aloe Moves, for example, I'd sign up to these things and I just would never use them. So in my head, I was like, I struggle to be consistent. But I'd done a lot of work around this and I knew that consistency isn't my issue here. I know I can consistently show up for my life and show up for my dreams now that I'm in a business that I'm really passionate about. But my issue is this real fear around, what if I have it all only to then lose it? And it felt like, if I have even more, you know, the more that I have, the harder it's going to be if I couldn't maintain that, because it's almost like you step into this next level and you create all of these new standards for your life and you have this kind of lifestyle that you become accustomed to. It felt so, so scary to kind of think about, well, what if all of that, I just could not maintain that? So I know that for my life, like getting to a certain point in my life financially, it's been incredible, but your lifestyle up levels with that. So with that up leveling of your lifestyle, so does your expenses. So now my sort of baseline cost of living compared to when I first started this journey is significantly different. So when I first started out, you know, when I very first at the beginning, early stages of being a coach, I was able to survive on very little because I was living in a flat with five other housemates. We were renting out the living room. We were sleeping on a sofa. You know, we lived, you know, quite simply in terms of, you know, we weren't spending a lot of money. So my baseline in terms of what I needed was very small. But now that's a whole new story because I've got multiple homes. I've got kids that are all in very expensive private international schools. You know, we have a whole team that we support within our business who we, you know, we pay monthly. We have people that work for us within our house. We have a full-time housekeeper, a nanny, a gardener. So all of a sudden, our baseline financial situation of what we sort of need each month has become a lot higher. So I realized that with every time you up level financially, your lifestyle up levels with that. And so I started to worry, okay, well, what if I get myself to this next level and I create this lifestyle for myself that needs maintaining and I'm not able to maintain that? Something happens. So this was a real genuine fear. And I realized that it was holding me back from going to that next level. It was almost like I kept saying, well, maybe you should just be happy with where you are. You're comfortable here. This is a comfortable amount for you to earn. And you know that you can comfortably do this quite easily each month. Why do you need to go even higher? Why do you need to go from six figures to seven figures? So if I was going to break through that earning plateau, I knew I'd need to really work on that fear. So maybe you resonate with this as well. And then the other big block for me was the, what will people think? I'm going to be seen as different. I'll perhaps be met with criticism or judgment. Now, again, I felt like this block wasn't really a huge one for me, let's say getting to six figures and even seven figures, to be honest, because I had actually been exposed to women who were in that six and seven figure benchmark. So not a huge amount, but I had some exposure. So especially within the corporate space, you know, a lot of the, when I was working in law, like a lot of the senior partners and executives, they were earning beyond six figures within their roles. So I knew that, you know, I could see people that had earned that kind of money. So it didn't feel so alien to me. I'd also worked with people within the business space, mentors and coaches who were making seven figures. So again, that didn't feel so alien to me. But it was when it came to up-leveling beyond that, it kind of felt like, well, I've never really had any real personal contact with people who are earning at that level. And we always want to stay within the limits of our own environment. So we're hardwired to want to be accepted and validated from our community, and to be validated from by our community, it means to be the same as the people that we are surrounded by. That's why we are, you know, the phrase that you hear, you are the product of the people that you spend your most time with. Because again, like, you know, we want to kind of conform with the group. So for me, I knew that to get to that next level, I needed to think about, well, what am I really afraid of here when it comes to financially surpassing the people that I am surrounded by? And for me, it was really this fear of rejection, this fear of criticism. And digging into this, there was a lot of things that were said in my household growing up, where people had got to a certain earning level and they were met with negativity. So a good example of this was a family that lived on our road, and, you know, they'd always been the same as us. They lived on our road, the kids went to the same school, you know, we were in the same kind of social circle. And then all of a sudden, the dad of the family, his business took off and they became very wealthy. So they moved to the posh part of the neighborhood where all the big houses were. But what I remember hearing was, oh, they've changed. Oh, they think they're better than us now. You know, oh, they're such a show off with, you know, their new fancy car. So it was almost like as soon as somebody went above their station, went above their earning level, they were met with rejection. They were met with criticism. So for me, this was a big thing, because ultimately, the thing that we want more than anything is to be loved and accepted by the people that we're closest to. So for me, it was this fear of, well, who will reject me or who will criticize me if I, you know, I am seen to get to this next level, which for me, it was very alien. You know, I wasn't seeing people operate at this financial level. It didn't feel like something that was familiar to me. And we'll always try and shy away from things that are unfamiliar or outside of our comfort zone, or feel things that don't feel known to us. So do you resonate with this at all as well? So for me, it was really, you know, coming back and revisiting these blocks, which, you know, they really came and bit me on the bum, as the saying goes, because I wasn't even aware that these things were operating. It was playing out in my finances, but I had to really kind of dig deep into my subconscious mind to figure out what was it I was really afraid here. So if you are a part of the She Leads workshop, there are actually some questions that are going to support you in identifying your own subconscious money blocks, the things that are perhaps still lurking below the surface, to kind of figure out what's going on there. So again, you can sign up to that workshop for free. So it's she-leads.co/workshop. she-leads.co/workshop. I will link it in the show notes as well, so you have the link there. But yeah, I'd love to know, do you resonate with any of these things? If you are interested in diving deeper into this space, alongside the workshop, we've also launched a brand new Instagram page for all of our feminine leadership work, so we can kind of keep it all really centered around the feminine leadership space. So if you are somebody that wants to get coached into your feminine leadership era, or you are a coach that wants to start facilitating this work, so maybe you want to work with CEOs, entrepreneurs, professional women, helping them reach that next level of success, impact, and income. If you're thinking, this is the work that I feel like I'm called to do, helping women create success without that hustle. If you feel that this is your purpose as a coach, then again, you can go over to that Instagram. It's at sheleads.academy. So that's sheleads.academy. Again, I will link that in the show notes so that you've got the information there. So you can go over and follow that Instagram. That's very much just going to be centered now on the feminine leadership space. So yeah, I hope that you found this episode useful, ladies. I've loved connecting with you again, and I will see you on the next episode. Have a great week, ladies. Wanting to build your own successful online coaching business, make sure to check out Freedom, Abundance, and Impact, our free 10-day business and mindset course for coaches and aspiring coaches. To access, simply head to wearetheclick.com and click free course in the menu.